And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Throughout human history, irrespective of religion, race, or culture, jewelry has existed as an integral form of expression, wealth, and social status. The function of jewelry has evolved and varied over time from a form of currency to a fashion accessory and form of artistic expression. Many forms of jewelry have their roots in function, such as pins, buckles, and brooches. Today, jewelry is increasingly viewed as a form of artistic expression. This Saturday, November 5th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., local jeweler Holly McCone will debut the first and only Northwest showing of the work of Renaissance man, sculptor, artist, jeweler, author, Donald B. Wright, an Astoria resident for over 10 years. Don Wright's work has been shown in major museums, galleries, and universities in the United States, Japan, and Europe. And Don Wright's work is represented in many permanent collections, public and private. So this is a rare showing. So today I have these two talented artists in the studio. Hello, Holly McCone. Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Donald Wright.
Well, good morning, Donna.
It's good to see you here today.
Yeah.
And before we begin to talk about what's happening on Saturday, November 5th, this Saturday, I'd like to talk a little bit about each of you and your backgrounds. And so, Holly, why don't we just start a little bit with you? Tell us a little bit about your story, the story of Holly McCone.
Okay, we'll do. Well, my jewelry interest started back in high school in the 70s in Omaha, Nebraska, where I grew up, and sort of followed a winding path. I went to college in Minneapolis at the Minneapolis College of Art and Design, where I studied intaglio and drawing of life-size nudes, which is quite a stretch from where I am now and a little bit different scale. It was a lot larger then. So the thing is, I kept coming back to jewelry. I would take community classes and finally determined it was time to get serious with it. And that happened when my husband, Kevin, told me about Portland, where he had worked in the past. At this point, I was living in Phoenix, sort of zigzagging across the country, and we were tired of the heat, and he said, "Paradise is in Oregon," and I said, "Okay, take me there," and he did, and I found this wonderful jeweler, retired jeweler in Goldsmith, where I studied under his teachings for 6 months, 8 hours a day, pretty intensive. Did some apprentice work for about a year and then went off on my own. And for about 8 years, I was showing in galleries and doing shows, traveling a little bit and lugging the furniture of shows around the showcases, which is not very fun, but I enjoyed the shows themselves. And so during that time of those 8 years that I was in galleries, a jeweler here, Jerry Keenan, had asked me to put my work in his store.
In Astoria.
Here in Astoria, yes. And we had the opportunity to purchase his store 7.5 years ago, which Kevin and I did. And it was a perfect thing to do because I had a small client base here already and thought it would be perfect to be here. And we are thrilled. We love it here and couldn't be happier.
And your store, Holly McCone Jewelers, is right on Commercial Street between 11th and 12th. And you have occasionally signs out which are very funny, which you have a sense of humor, which I think is so vital and important. We need that in the world.
We do enjoy having fun. That's a priority, and priority for customers, too. If we're not having fun, we're not doing our job.
All right. So. Good for you. And Donald Wright, well, there's so darn much that you've done in your life that I actually have a copy. Donald Wright is not only a sculptor and a jeweler, but he's done many things in his new book, Making for the Light, How to Understand Your Consciousness and Develop Its Full Potential, has just been published and will soon be in our local bookstores. And so I'm just going to, I know you said you didn't really want to talk about yourself, so I'm just going to read a little bit.
Please do, talk about myself. It's been minimal, though.
Okay, but I'll just read a little bit about what it says here on the back of your book. Donald Wright has been an independent student of the psychology and philosophy of consciousness for over 35 years. He has attended 4 universities, earning a Bachelor of Science cum laude and a Master of Fine Arts degree. 3 universities have utilized his abilities as a professor. He's an award-winning sculptor and a creator of rare and unique gold jewelry. Among his skills are those of piloting an aerobatic biplane and skippering a sailboat more than 14,000 miles on the oceans. Wright was a control tower operator in the Air Force, a professional photographer, architectural and interior designer, saxophonist, university drum major, public radio program host. In fact, you had a program here, The Wright Stuff.
I did, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've been a cabaret singer in France, singing
yes.
in French. All right. Actually, that would be wonderful. I should have asked you to sing today.
Oh, well, I'm glad you forgot that.
No, I just remembered. And you've also been a volunteer fireman, a special deputy sheriff, a gold miner. Boy, that now, so here you are, your jewelry, this beautiful gold with amazing stones and fabulous things we'll be talking about. You've actually been a gold miner, a restaurant owner, and a gallery owner. And I know you've been described as an iconoclast by those who know you well.
That means idol breaker, guys.
Yeah, that's right. So you don't know what iconoclast means, right. A scientific realist, an ardent skeptic, an iconoclast. And you started making jewelry and sculpture kind of simultaneously. How did that evolve?
Well, I had been in France for 2 years, in Casablanca for about 7 months, and I got acquainted with art. So when I came back to this country on the GI Bill, I went to college, Missouri State, and became an art major. And from that, I realized, even though I did two-dimensional things, drawing and so on, that I really liked three-dimensional things. That is to say, excuse me, sculpture and jewelry. Excuse me, folks.
Yes.
And so I just continued
right.
with that.
And
became a professor and sort of earned some bucks and continued to do my sculpture and jewelry and so on. Finally had a gallery of my own in Santa Fe, New Mexico, called the Selective Eye.
Oh, I've heard about the Selective Eye, and you were considered in the, I think you were the goldsmith of Santa Fe. You were the first person in Santa Fe who actually designed gold jewelry.
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you did that in Santa Fe for
quite successfully, yeah.
many mm-hmm. years. And actually, Holly, the pieces, there are 37 Donald Wright pieces.
Yes, there are.
At your store here, at your, well, it's kind of a gallery in a way. I mean, it's the Holly McCone Jewelers, but it's, you know, beautiful things are, I mean, it's an art object.
Call it a gallery, absolutely.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a jewelry gallery.
Thank you.
Anyway.
We like to think of it that way, yes, absolutely.
And these are the last of the Donald Wright pieces. I mean, they're all over the world, of course, but these are the last pieces that he actually crafted, and they've been in Santa Fe now for the last 30 years. There have been different pieces which have sold over the years. And so now you have his last pieces in your store.
And we are thrilled to have them. I think it's very important for our area to see his Donald's work and to be exposed to it and enjoy it.
Well, what's been said about your work, Don, if I may, is Teresa Vorenberg, who worked with you for many years, said, Don Wright is a master of form in space. There's no jewelry in the world like his. And she is an internationally recognized jeweler in Santa Fe, and she works on the world market. And she said, there's no jewelry in the world like this, that you're an original. You're the only one who's doing this kind of work because it's sculpture for the body, and that you knew how to design this so that it fit the body ergonomically. And Teresa said that your jewelry has a dimension you don't find in any other jewelry. So it's about form and space. I mean, how did you know how to do that? If other people aren't able to do that, how did this come to you? How did you know how to make this that other people just weren't able to do?
Well, I mean, I just, individual, I did what was in front of me, and I particularly like a three-dimensional aspect. Of course, sculpture made in bronze through the lost wax casting method, and jewelry made in gold, for example, in the lost wax casting method, are essentially the same, just difference in size and function. Sculpture, to me, has no other function than to, what, amaze someone and continue looking at it at all sides. And jewelry, being highly decorative, can also be very sculptural, and that's what I try to do with mine, is make it highly three-dimensional. And working in wax, by the way, is the way you do both sculpture in metal and jewelry in gold.
And so that I know that you, when people are really doing what is their passion, when they're living their passion, time just goes by, and you just, like when you both are in the studio, it just, you don't know what's happening outside in the world, right?
Absolutely. Yes. It just flies by.
Yes, it's just attention is entirely on what you're doing. There is no other thing, right,
and
Holly?
Absolutely right.
Do you know what you're going to create when you begin, or does it just take shape as you're beginning, as you're doing it?
Well, I know if it's going to be a ring or a pendant or earrings or something, but beyond that, no, I don't know what's going to turn out to be.
For me, usually it starts with the gemstone. When I'm designing for myself, I pick a stone that I like to say talks to me. And I may have no idea what I want to do with that stone when I first get it and look at it, but it'll start to tell me, does it want some added diamonds or other gemstones? Does it want to be symmetrical, asymmetrical, structural, or very fluid? And it's what I've always enjoyed.
Oh,
and sometimes
that sounds neat. Yeah.
Yeah, and the designs will come to me in dreams once in a while, or right that Whoa. Moment just when you wake up, where your mind is very clear and clean and crisp, and I'll be thinking about a stone, and it's been packed away in my brain for a while, and all of a sudden I'll say, oh, this is what you need to do. So
I don't think my mind has ever been clean and clear.
And out of the murky depths have arisen some amazing things, actually. There's a book that's been written about you, Donald Wright, The Sculpture and Jewelry, and that will be available for people to look at the show on Saturday night. And Holly, if someone said, tell us about Donald Wright's jewelry, I mean, how would you describe this to people who hadn't seen his work?
First, I would just, when you see it, it is definitely sculpture that you're looking at for the body. And you can wear it. It's wearable sculpture. Very exciting. There's beautiful gemstones involved, and how Donald's worked the forms of that sculpture around the gemstones works beautifully.
Yeah, it is unique, that's for sure. I mean, when you start researching, and I did do some research, and this whole concept of what jewelry means, there's so much symbolism. I mean, what do you see with that, Holly, in your own work?
Well, for me, we do at the store a lot of custom work. So for me, working with the customer and what it means to them, whether it's a wedding set, wedding ring, or a stone that's been given to them, or they've inherited from their grandmother, how important is that for the person? And we want to make sure it's just that special piece right for them.
Well, Selfish Don never took that sort of commission. I made what I wanted to make, and if they bought it, great. If they didn't, well, okay, maybe the next guy would. But I simply enjoy working with wax, which is then transferred into gold for these sort of things. And that's about all there is to it. I just start out. But by the way, we must mention that form follows function. If the function is to be a ring, the form must fit the hand beautifully, not be uncomfortable, not twist over, all that sort of thing. It has to really function properly. And I think the main function, eventually, of jewelry is to be decorative.
And we have, since the eons, since the beginning of time, mankind has looked at body art, whether it's tattoos, whether it's jewelry. We want to decorate ourselves. I wonder, is that just, that's just something that's in our nature, I guess?
I think it is. We enjoy it.
Well, because we want to express, let's say, some of the beauty that we see in the world. People will tattoo a tree, or they'll, you know, jewelry itself comes from nature. I mean, these materials.
It does. And I know quite a few of our custom pieces that we've done, we can do representational things. Like if, let's say, someone likes to fish for tuna, we have put tuna on a ring, or Dungeness crab, or salmon, or whales' tails, or hearts.
Sure, of course. People want those things. And you actually, although you didn't do custom work, you did what you wanted to do yourself throughout your long, long career. And you do have a couple of sets of wedding rings, actually, at Holly's that are not your normal wedding ring set.
Really? Well, I haven't seen them yet. They've been in Santa Fe for all these years.
Okay, good. So this will be a surprise to you, too.
Exactly.
On Saturday to see Excellent. What's there. Exactly. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today I have in the studio Holly McCone. She owns Holly McCone Jewelers with her husband, Kevin, in downtown Astoria, Oregon. And also Donald B. Wright. Donald is an award-winning sculptor. He's an artist, a jeweler, and now an author as well. And there is a first and only Northwest showing of his work this Saturday night at Holly McCone Jewelers in downtown Astoria from 5 to 8 p.m. And we've been talking about what jewelry means. And we've been also talking about why Don's work is different. I wonder if it's because you yourself have been, in the words of another person who wrote about you, unapologetically completely yourself in a world in which it is rare to find people who can do that.
Whoa. Well, I'd like to. I'll subscribe to that. What the heck?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's why if someone would say to you, you can't do that or that can't happen that way, then you would certainly say, you being a skeptic, you'd say, why? Why can't that happen? And then you would begin to try to create something different and new.
I don't think it really worked like that. Nobody said those such a things to me. I just sat down at a bench with some wax and tools and built in wax a piece of jewelry. It's quite simple, and the mind is right there. You're not going anywhere. As Holly said, you're intense on that work. Nothing else is going on at all. And that's really fun. I enjoy it, that intense, mindless, if you will, kind of work.
So when you're doing it, you're completely present. And in order to be present, which I know most of us today are very busy, we're multitasking, and our brains are in so many different directions. So to really be focused, like with a laser beam of intensity, is what is crucial when you're creating a piece of work, a piece of art, or even if you're relating with your child in some way.
To be uninterrupted time, and that you're right, it doesn't happen as often as we would like. We wear many, many hats.
And that's one of the nice things about creating these things, sculpture, jewelry, whatever, is that you're able to get into that state of mind, that kind of consciousness, which is essentially sensual. It's not, you're not thinking that much. You're just doing. And it's a very refreshing
kind of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Very peaceful.
And your hands just naturally begin to form certain things and do certain things. And you're not directing it with your mind with any effort. You're not saying, I want to do.
Not that you know of, no.
Right. It's just kind of coming. It's almost an organic process.
Right. There's no concept, if I may. You're not thinking about things. Your mind's not wandering around thinking about having lunch or anything like that. You're just doing the thing. You're making that thing.
Right. And you have talked many times about how we are stuck in concepts in this world today and that people need to have sensory experience because they need experiential things. We want to address
that. Well, yes, because that's where reality is. Concepts are not real. They're symbolic. What is real is what we take in through our senses, and that's where all of our concepts start, unless we're taught concepts like we are in school about things.
Such as a picture of a tree in a book is not a tree.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would be one example. And in your book, Making for the Light, How to Understand Your Consciousness and Develop Its Full Potential, you talk about spotlight of consciousness. And that where you put that spotlight is where your attention goes.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've just been talking about here.
With jewelry, with creating jewelry.
Yeah. The focus.
You can't be thinking about what you're having for lunch and do a nice piece of jewelry or sculpture or anything.
No, you put your spirit, you're into it. You have to put your energy into it.
Energy, absolutely, yeah. And your body, because when you're working with your hands like that, or I think with any artist, you're just really involved in using your body. It's not just your mind. It's a combination of just creating that piece.
And there is a body wisdom that we also have, and that, you know, comes through. People aren't aware. Sometimes our bodies know, our mind might think, I want that donut. But the body says, no, just could you give me some salad? I'd like some salad. So when you're working, there's, Holly, when you talk about using your body completely to make jewelry, do you feel that sometimes your hands will do something that maybe your mind didn't think about?
No, for me, not necessarily so much that, where if I'm working on something and I have a particular idea in mind to start with, but as I'm working, it changes.
Sure.
The piece will change and evolve. It's like, oh, it tells me again that talking to me.
Mm-hmm. Listening to the materials.
That it wants to be a different way than what I thought it should be to start.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. As you see it, as you imagine it, and then you start working on it, and you think, well, I didn't imagine that very well.
Ergonomic means it works naturally with the body, and we hear a lot about that today. And it's that concept of jewelry, because all of us have had pieces of jewelry that just don't fit properly, and it's uncomfortable. And so to have something that's seamless and that really works with your body, I think that's a very important thing.
Very, very. Especially for a ring.
Yes.
It's got to be comfortable. It has to fit the finger properly. It must not turn over and all that sort of thing. Very important. Form and follows function.
Holly, what have you found in your work with jewelry that has made you feel that you are in a rewarding profession? Because a lot of people might think that jewelry is a luxury. And yet,
right,
for many people, it has great meaning and power.
Mm-hmm. For me, in the beginning, it started as just creating my own pieces. Before I ever had the store, I started where I enjoyed working with my hands. I know we're on the radio and you can't see me, but I'm moving my hands and talking with them the whole time I'm doing this. So I like working with my hands. And the surprise has been how much I enjoy working, and I'm grateful for it as well, how much I enjoy working with the customers. And the interface, you become very close. We're working on very, very personal things, wedding rings, just because pieces. And because of that personal bond with the customer, I receive a lot with that for me.
And quite the opposite.
Then we're perfect together.
I had a big portrait done of me to hang in my gallery, so they thought they'd met me. But I wanted to stay in the studio.
Exactly, right. You chose to spend your time in the studio and not to interact with people as much. You had people in the gallery who were there. And actually, that photograph of you that was in your gallery, The Selective Eye for many years, is going to be at the show on Saturday night.
Yes.
So people can see that particular photograph.
And that same one. Right.
Right. So I think I remember someone told me that when...
So do I have to go to this opening?
Yes, you have
yes,
to go to the
you
opening.
Do.
You do. Because I think you said, when people would come in and they were contemplating buying a very expensive ring or a very expensive pendant which was just stunning, and they said, we want to meet the artist, then you chose not to... You said, the people at the gallery say, here's his photograph. Now you know. You've seen him because there's a funny story actually that I just heard too, that recently a woman walked into Tiffany's in New York City with one of your signature rings, a Donald Wright piece, and the woman at Tiffany's looked at her and exclaimed, oh, you're wearing a Donald Wright original, because your pieces are one of a kind. And they are completely unique to you. And so really going to the show on Saturday night is kind of like going to a museum.
Yes.
And in a sense, because these pieces, you don't see things like this. So it's kind of a rare opportunity here in the Northwest.
The first time of my work has been in the Northwest.
First time your work has ever been here. That's exactly right. And if you were going to describe to people your work, would you just say, well, I just did what came naturally to me, and it's and just come and look at it and see if it speaks to you?
I think that's about what I'd say, yes.
Okay.
What else can you say about a little three-dimensional object?
Right, right. Which has great meaning, though, in
yes,
the world. These things have great meaning in the
world.
They do. That's for sure. And I know that you're going to have refreshments from 5 to 8
yes.
on Saturday. You're going to be there, and your photograph will be there.
Yes.
And the book. And and also, even though your new book, Making for the Light, is not out yet, we do have a couple of copies, and there will be one at the gallery. And Holly, is there anything else you'd like to say? We have a few minutes left here. Anything else you'd like to say about art and jewelry and, you know, having your store here in Astoria? And
We're very thrilled to be in Astoria. It's just a fabulous place to live. I always, whenever I talk about it and people ask, oh, where are you located? I say, we are right in the middle of downtown, beautiful downtown Astoria.
So. I couldn't agree more. I really love it here.
Yeah, and you've traveled all over the world. And why mm-hmm. why do you love Astoria so much? What is it, Donald?
The gray skies.
The gray skies. Okay. All right. So you can see better without that sun reflecting and
yes,
bouncing mm-hmm. off on things.
Yeah, minimal contrast so you can really see.
Okay. All right. And Holly, what is it about Astoria that speaks to you? Has your work changed since you've been here? I know a lot of artists, because the two of you are artists, and a lot of artists are here in this North Coast area, and they feel that they are inspired here in different ways than they have been in other places.
I think the gray skies are one thing, but there's also an energy within the weather from powerful winds, heavy rain, mist, and light things. I think the light is different here sometimes, and that it's mm-hmm. inspiring.
Right. Have you done a rain ring?
Oh, man, what a great idea.
I think so. Absolutely. How about an Oregon rain ring? And you have a drop of Oregon rain somehow encapsulated. You can say, so then when people go back to Arizona and the dry places in the world,
oh, it'll evaporate.
I have to say this, and I'm so pleased that Holly is in her galleries where I can be represented. That's wonderful, Holly.
We are thrilled to have you, Donald.
Yeah, it is. It's a rare opportunity. These pieces are really jaw-dropping. I mean, they're quite stunning. And so for those of you who think that you might say, well, jewelry is not really something that I would be interested in seeing, I truly believe that going is like going to a museum. It's an art gallery. And Donald, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Well, I was amused that you say when you wear the pendant that you have, mine that you have, people look at that before they look in your eyes.
Yes, because jewelry can absolutely attract our attention. There's no question about it, and be a sparking point. And people look at it as, you know, there are protection pieces, there are commitment pieces.
Yes, they do.
Pieces that connect us to our ancestors.
Yes.
So there's a lot of meaning in jewelry. So, Holly McCone, thank you so much for being here today.
It has been a pleasure. Thank
and
you.
And Donald Wright.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you all on Saturday night from 5 to 8 at Holly McCone Jewelers. And if you want more information, it's Holly McCone, HollyMcHone.com, and DonaldWright.net. And Terry Wilson. Terry wants to see one of your rings. He's going to be there Saturday night. Terry, thank you for being our engineer extraordinaire. And also I want to thank Michael Bruin, who is our local talented banjo instructor, for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life. And focus on feeling good. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.